Good morning, class.
How many visitors do we have? Just raise your hand. We're not going to ask you to do anything. Very good. Welcome. Do you guys know what the word psych means? It means that you just told a lie. Psych. Do you know that? You know when someone says, I'm not going to ask you to do anything, and then you say, psych, get up and come up here, that kind of thing? Yeah. You don't know what psych means? Oh, okay. So all the visitors, psych, come on up. No, I'm only kidding. Let's see your Bibles this morning, everybody. Word. All right, very good. Let's see your bulletins. Bulletins. And let's see your pens. Let's see your pens. Here we go. Very good. All right. Let's open our bulletins and do our memory verse for the week. We are reading through Job. We're finished actually in Psalms now. If you're reading through the Bible with us, if you're not reading through the Bible with us, go to the Rock Pile store and get a daily walk. And you can pick them up every month, and it'll take you through the Bible in a year. It has a devotional every day with the reading. It is absolutely amazing. Can we have these things open? Whoever does that? Thank you. As we read through the Bible, and we just finished Job a few days ago, and we'll read this verse. But if you're reading with us and you finished Job, you saw God speak to Job. And that's what our topic is going to be about. But let's read this first, then we'll get to that. The memory verse is Job 42, verse 10. And this is after Job went through all his problems. This is the end of the story. On three. One, two, three. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Whoa. Well, let's read it. They hit the wrong button. Okay, here we go. Let's read one more time. The Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. That is encouraging news. That after Job went through everything he went through, God gave him twice as much as he had before. Okay, let's turn to Job chapter 42. Job 42. This is our third week in the series on why bad things happen to good people. And if you are a visitor or you weren't here for the whole series, the first week we started this series with Job chapter 1, when Satan told God that Job only followed God because Job was blessed. He accused Job of being a hypocrite. The Bible says that Job was a righteous man. He shunned evil, feared God. And God told Satan, no, Job is a man of integrity. You could take everything he has. He won't curse me. And Satan took everything Job had except his wife, took all his 10 kids, destroyed all his houses, took all his servants, took all his wealth, which was measured in animals, his sheep, his camels, his ox. Job didn't curse God. Then Satan came back to God and said, well, if you touch his body, he will curse you. God said, go ahead and you can touch his body. Don't kill him. Satan put boils all over Job's body. His bones were sticking out. He was skinny. He couldn't sleep. He was having nightmares. The Bible says his eyes were popping out of his head. His breath was stinking. And he was just a mess. He was in pain 24 hours a day. Yet Job never cursed God. Now, when this trial happened, we talked about what a trial was. We defined a trial or a problem as something that happens to us that we don't want. In other words, if you get a pimple on your face, if you don't care, then it's not a trial. But if you do care and you got your boyfriend coming over or your whoever and you're trying to impress them, then all of a sudden it's a problem because you don't want that to happen. So the only reason that pimple is a problem is because it's something you don't want. What the devil does, he tries to create these problems and convince us that they're bad things, and then his ultimate desire is to get us to curse God. He wants to destroy your relationship with God. So when a problem comes, you have to realize, one, a problem's only a problem when it's something you don't want. Two, the devil's use of the problem and purpose is to destroy your relationship with God. Because Satan told God he'll curse you. Job's wife told Job, curse God. Job's friends told Job, you deserve what you got. Matter of fact, you're so wicked and sinful, you deserve worse than what you got. So here's Job in the middle. Satan is saying he's going to curse God. His friends are telling him he deserves it. His wife tells him to curse God. And Job has to make a decision. Do I blame God and curse God, thus destroying my relationship with God? Or do I draw near to God as a result of it, going to him for comfort? Now, what we're going to look at today is we're going to look at God's answer to all this. Because God's sitting down watching this. He's watching Satan destroy Job's possessions. He's watching Satan destroy his body. He's watching his friends give him counsel that is negative. He's watching and listening to his wife. We talked about his wife being foolish. The Bible calls her foolish because she said, curse God and die. And God's standing around watching all this, and then God happens to speak. Now, the interesting thing about what God says, the interesting thing that the fact that God waited till the end is because God is watching what you're going through. He knows what you're going through. The Bible says that he is the God of all comfort. He can comfort you. He knows all your pain. He knows all your frustration, all your depression, all your emptiness, all your questions. And what we're going to find very interesting about what God says is mostly as much as what he said, but even what he didn't say. God did not tell Job, Job, I'm doing this because you did this. I'm doing this to teach you this. What God did was God revealed himself to Job. That's it. He said, Job, I'm going to tell you about who I am. Because let me tell you something. If you know who I am, the questions you have, you might not ask. All y'all here this morning, let me tell you something. The reason we pray the prayers we do pray, those prayers are based on our knowledge of who God is, our perspective on God. And the reason we don't pray some of the prayers we don't pray is because of our lack of knowledge of God. The reason we worry about things is based on our knowledge of God. In other words, if you knew God better, there are some prayers you wouldn't pray anymore. And there are some different prayers you would pray. Some of you have little prayers because your knowledge of God is little. You have little prayers because your faith in God is little. You have little prayers because your dependence on God is little. You have little prayers because your understanding of who God is little. You pray for little things because you don't believe God is big, or you don't believe God loves you big, or you don't believe God is willing to bless you big. So Job said, listen, if I just tell you I did this because it's not going to really solve your bigger problem. Your bigger problem, Job, is you don't understand me. Now, in all whatever problem you're going through today, let me tell you something. I know some of you got some horrible things, and we all been through. I heard someone was saying, I don't understand, I never had problems. Please, please. I'm not going through something horrible right now, but we all been through bad stuff. And guess what? We all will go through bad stuff. Matter of fact, I've been teaching this thing for 4 weeks, and don't think I'm not looking over my shoulder every day waiting for God to put me through this so I can really know what I'm talking about now. I mean, you make it fresh in my, and I'm like, man, something's going to happen. The devil playing with my mind. But God wants us to know him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, according to the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. He says, I beg you therefore to lay your life down at the Lord's feet and let him do with you what you may. And then it says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what he says. Lay your life down at the Lord's feet and let him transform your mind. And then it says, you will then know the will of God. In other words, don't ask me for answers. Don't seek answers. Seek God. Because once you see God, then your questions will change. Your questions will change. Matter of fact, some of your questions will actually go away. You'll go, I won't worry. I won't worry. If I was sending you into a bad neighborhood and you were asking all these questions, okay, what kind of people? Do they have guns? And should I do this? And what should I wear? And what should I wear? And I said, listen, here's who you're going with. And you saw these five big dudes. They had armored car. You wouldn't have any more questions. Oh, I don't worry no more. I have no worries. And now you know you with safety. What God was trying to say is, look, you got these problems? I'm just going to show you who I am. When John the Baptist was in the dungeon getting ready to get his head cut off because he told Herod he was wrong for sleeping with his brother's wife, his sister-in-law, Herodias. Okay? And so John the Baptist says, you're a sinner. You're an adulterer. Put him in prison. John the Baptist is in prison for doing something good. He eventually gets his head cut off. Right before he gets his head cut off, he sends his disciples to Jesus, his cousin, and says, ask Jesus, is he really the one? Did I make a mistake standing up for righteousness? Am I going to get killed and have wasted my life? So basically, I'm suffering. I'm in this trial. Can you give me some comfort? Jesus didn't send message back to John. Oh, John, you're going to receive rewards in heaven. Oh, John, I'm with you. Oh, John, I'll pray for you. No. You know what Jesus says? I preach the gospel to the poor. I give the blind their sight. I heal the lame. That's what I'm doing. And the Bible says, blessed, he was not offended at that. In other words, blessed those who that's good enough for, that God is God and he's doing what he's doing. And what God is saying to you today, he's like, I don't want you to worry about this problem, money, relationship, illness. I want you to get focused on me because I'm so much bigger than all of that. I mean, infinitely so much bigger. And when Job realized what God was saying, he repented. Look what he says in verse 42, chapter 42, verse 1. Chapter 42, verse 1. He says, Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I've uttered what I did not understand, God. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak, you said. I will answer you, and you shall answer me. Job says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in the dust and ashes. Here's Job sitting in ashes, got boils on his head, his eyes sunken out. The Bible, God even says that he punished Job for no reason in chapter 2. He didn't do anything wrong. But when he saw God, he said, God, I'm sorry. What did God tell him? We're going to look at three things he told him. Turn to chapter 38. Three things. Chapter 38, verse 31. Three things. The first thing he told him was, he says, Job, I am omnipotent. Everyone say omnipotent. Say omni, which means all. Say potent, power. I am all powerful. Now, let me explain what omnipotent doesn't mean. It doesn't mean God can do anything he wants. God can't do anything. Okay, you ever hear that little kid riddle? Can God make a rock too big for him to pick up? You ever hear that? I mean, it's like a little trivia question. Is it possible for God to make a rock so big he can't pick it up? No. He is all powerful. There is nothing made or that exists that's not more powerful than God. But God cannot lie. God cannot go against his word, his promise. He can't not be holy. So God does have limitations that he has established for himself. But when the Bible says God's omnipotent, the Bible says that God has the, if you think of the strongest thing you know, God is stronger than that. You think of the most powerful thing you know, God's more powerful than that. You think of the most mighty thing that's ever existed, God is more powerful than that. Look what it says in verse 31. He says to Job, Job, can you bind the cluster of Pleiades or loose the belt of Orion? Can you bring out Maseroth in its season? Or can you guide the great bear with his cubs? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that an abundance cover you, that an abundance may cover you? Can you send the lightning out that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the mind and who has given understanding to the heart? God basically said, every now and then my past catches up to me. God. God basically said to Job, Job, do you have any power to do this? Now, let's go back here. Pleiades. Everyone say Pleiades. Pleiades is a constellation of stars that are 400 light years away. Now, how far is light year? 186,000 miles a second times 60 seconds times 60 minutes times 24 hours times 365 miles away is this constellation of stars. I don't even want to multiply because the calculator would just, it wouldn't be a billion, a trillion. It would be a godzillion numbers, okay? 397 godzillion miles. I don't know that number that big. That's how far away it is. It has 400 to 500 stars in this constellation, and they're a light year apart from each other, and they're moving at 186,000 miles an hour away from the Earth. Can you fathom that? No, you don't even just say no. You can't. I mean, you just can't. 400 to 500, that means they don't know how many stars. They're a light year apart. That basically means they don't know. They're 160,000 miles going away from Earth. That means, man, that's pretty quick. And they're 400 to 415 light years away from our solar system. Can you? No. No. God said, Job, tell me what your problem is. What? Can you do that, Job? My bad. Job, can you do that? Orion is a Greek. Orion is a Greek hunter, a mythological character, and there's this constellation that represents him. We don't want to get into the Orion's belt, the three stars that represent his belt, and he's a shield. There's an Orion nebula. It's a cloud in the solar system of these forming stars. It's beautiful. It's purple. It's huge. Light years. Big. He says, just the three stars in his belt. Can you loose that, Job? Can you move one star over here and one star over here? Can you do that? Job was like, my bad. Can you bring out Maseroth? Everybody say Maseroth. Maseroth, many of you here, when you were young and dating and ignorant, didn't know how to rap to women, you would say, how you doing? I'm Aries, you know, and I'm Miles, I'm Aries, I'm Taurus, or whatever. You into that stuff? Let me tell you something. All that stuff in the newspaper is from the devil. Don't read that stuff. Stars can't tell you about your life. It's not true. It's a lie. Matter of fact, next January, February time, I'm going to do a series on evolution and creation. And we'll get more into Maseroth because Maseroth is all those constellations, the ram, the lion, the scorpion. God placed them there. They're his gospel. Oh! Ain't that something? Oh! Huh? The scorpion, sin, Leo, lion, lion of Judah. Ain't that something? That's what it is. And guess what? It just tells the story. Matter of fact, let me read a verse to you. In Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. Ain't that something? Duh. Man didn't make that trash up. God, that stuff up. God made it up. Man trashed it. God made it for gospel. He says, Joe, did you think about that? Did you put those stars, boop, 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 boop? The Bible says he flung them out there with his fingers. Boom, boom, boom. Not just in chaos. He placed them. Bam, bam, bam. Scorpion. Boop. Figure that out. Ram. Boop, boop, boop. Figure that out. Leo line. Boop. Figure that out. You know, Virgo, the Virgin, Mary. Boop. Figure that out. Ooh. Ooh. Figure that out. He says, Job. Oh, I forgot. My bad. Not did you put them out there, but do you bring them out in the certain season of the year? Boom, 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 boom. I do that, Job. I do that. Now tell me about, ask me your question about your boils on your body. He says, the great bear with its cubs, the little dipper and the big dipper. I put that out there, Job. I put out that out there. The Bible says in Genesis 17:1, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am God Almighty. No one's stronger than me, Job. No, I mean, Abraham, Job too, no one. Remember when you were little? Your daddy could beat everybody else's daddy. Right? Your daddy was the man. But nobody can beat our heavenly daddy.
He is God Almighty. Revelation 19, 6 and 7. I heard, as it were, the voice of the great multitude, the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. No devil and all the devils and all his demons aren't stronger than God. Nobody's stronger than God. Why is that important? Because let me tell you something. In our cursing God, in our blaming God for our problems, what we are saying, one of the things we are saying to him is, God, I'm in control of my life and you messed it up. I was trying to do this and you got in the way. I was going to get that job. I was going to get that car. I was going to do this because I'm in control. I have power.
He said, no. I only let you have power. You and I have no power except what God lets us have. When we start thinking that we're in control, we start thinking we're in power. When we start thinking that people get in our way, that people can stop us because now they have power over us and they're misusing it, and then we blame God for letting it happen, God says, shut your mouth. I have ultimate power. Not you, not her, not him, me. What we need to repent of is thinking that we are in control. You're not in control. God's in control. The next thing he told Job was, Job, I am omnipresent. Turn to verse 4 in chapter 38. Verse 4. Omnipresent means that God always was everywhere, is everywhere now, and always will be everywhere. It means that you don't know anybody that knows anybody that knows anybody that was there when God was there in the beginning. He says in verse 4, where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determines the measurements? Surely you know. Who stretched out the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Who laid the cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come, but no further, and here your proud ways must stop. When I did all that, Job, where were you at? Were you like there telling me, give me wisdom counsel? Tell me to go right, left? Tell me, oh, that's too big, that's too small? Job, you don't even know anybody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that was there telling me that. I was the only one there. You know what the Bible says? God is everywhere. The Bible says in Psalm 139, 7, where can I flee from your presence? And I'm not only talking about physically, I'm talking about emotionally, I'm talking about mentally. Everything you feel, guess what? God is there. Everything you fear, God is there. Everything you doubt, God is there. All your pain, God is there. He knows everything. The Bible says the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, and nothing is hidden from its sight. God is everywhere. The Bible says in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Job, were you there? Were you there when I created the heavens and the earth? Heavens. You know, the scientists. Have to talk educated when I say scientists. They believe that there are 100 billion stars in our galaxy, Milky Way. That's the estimation, 100 billion. They estimate 100 billion other galaxies. Can you fathom that? Say no. You can't. Just imagine this was our Milky Way galaxy. Okay, that means our Earth, E-R-F, and our whole world is like a little dot in this galaxy. Okay? Just imagine. You have no fathom how big all that. None of us, unless you're a scientist, with a telescope, a big one. You just don't know. This is just huge. Light years high. Gigantic. In here, there's 100 billion stars. Okay? They're saying that there's 100 billion of these. What, 100 billion stars? Oh, of course, estimation. Of course, that's an estimation. Because they don't know.
And you know what God's doing? If I know God, I mean, you know, we boys, we don't know everything, but you know, we boys, we hang out a little bit. If I know God, and please forgive me if this is wrong, God, He's creating galaxies, moving them around, just messing with our minds. We're out there looking, oh, we're expanding. No, it's contracting. Oh, it's moving. God's like, watch this. Bam, 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 bam. He's like, Job, do you do that? Did you do that? Where were you when I was thinking about how I was going to mess with these scientists' minds? Where were you? There's a Horsehead Nebula. A nebula is a big, colorful, looks like a cloud. Purple, red. It's a cloud that results from stars being created. And there's a Horsehead Nebula. It looks like the head of a horse in this giant cloud, light years big. You look at it, it's unbelievable. And, oh, well, that's just an accident. It's way out there. Wait, there's no horses out there. We know what horses are. Only God, He's going on horses over here. Oh, let me put one out here. And these are like a drillion miles away. They'll figure it out. They'll see it one day. All of a sudden we get a telescope. He says, Joe, when I was doing that, and I put the earth out there, where were you at? You know what? Somewhere often we think that our world is so important that whatever happens around us is really it. Give you an example. When you play peekaboo with a little baby, okay, this is the boo part, and this is peek, okay? So you boo, then you peek, I guess. It's peekaboo. When you hide, the baby's mind tells them that you are gone because they cannot think abstractly. They can't think outside of their world. To a baby, only what they see is in existence. That's why when mommy leaves the room, they cry, because their mind is telling them mommy is gone. Don't leave me with daddy. I'll die. I need mommy. Okay. My wife went away for like a month ago. My other kids were like, we're going to die. He's not going to feed us. He's not going to do anything. I'm like, I'm teaching you independence, okay? This is all planned neglect. Okay. But in a baby's mind, when you hide, the baby's mind says, because I don't see you, you don't exist. The only thing that exists is what's right here. And then all of a sudden you appear again, they laugh because they think it's funny that you're back. We as adults understand that there are things going on that we don't see, that we don't know. But we forget that sometimes. And we think that our perspective, our pain, our concerns are the most important. God says, no, I'm over there too, listening to that person cry. I'm over there too, watching that person get hurt. I know, I'm everywhere. He says, Joe, where were you? Where were you? You need to repent thinking that you are every place to see everything. The last thing he tells Job is that I am omniscient. Turn to Job 39:26. You know, it's amazing when you walk on the beach, and all of us have done this, especially if you're from out of town. And you come to a beach, you know, you don't see beaches all the time. And you walk on the beach and try not to get wet, and the wave comes up. But then you walk and you go, ooh, and then you walk back. And, you know, we all done this, right? Ooh. And you kind of calculate where the wave's going. It usually stops around the same place. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden it tricks you. And it goes way over and you get wet. Let me read something to you. Chapter 38, verse 11. It says, when I said this far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop. And I'm not saying God's doing this for you, but the Bible says that he tells the waves where to stop. And here you are. He's like, okay, stop right there. Stop right there. Stop right there. Okay, really. Okay, this time, go way up. Whoosh!
You get what? That's a little joke. I didn't see that. It's a little something for you to think about. But you know what? Whenever since I read that verse, whenever I go on the beach, I love the ocean, or the sound of the ocean. And I always look at the waves stopping, and I go, as big as God is, the earth is 2/3 water. There's a place in the ocean that's 7 miles deep. You could drop an anchor, and for an hour, it will fall and won't hit the bottom. You know how much water that is? You don't. Just don't. It's immeasurable. And yet all of that will come to a little innocent wave. That little kid's complaining and stop right there. That's God. God says, I tell him where to stop. Right there. That's God. So when I walk on the wave, I can enjoy all that power by this little wave. That this is the part of it that I need right there. God does that. Look at chapter 30, whatever I just told you, 39, verse 26. He says, Job, I'm omniscient. You know what that means? Say omni. Science. He's all knowing. Guess what you know? Say nothing. We know nothing. We know nothing. Here's what I mean by that. You look yourself in the mirror, you don't even know that person. Do you know what I'm talking about? Did you think differently about that person in the mirror than you do today? Oh, yes, you did. And if you go through trials, oh, you learn so much about yourself. You know, trials are like tea bags. Christians are like tea bags. You don't know what kind they are until you put them in hot water. And you look in the mirror and go, oh, you are so strong. You're so smart. You're so loving. You're just so wonderful. Oh, my goodness, I know why God loves you. Lose your job. Cop an attitude. Get your car stolen. All of a sudden, a new person appears. Okay? Freddy Krueger comes out. Christian Freddy Krueger. And you have nerve to say, well, I'm Christian, but still, I want to get him. You don't even know yourself. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that when Jesus comes back, we are going to be known as we are known. God knows you better than you. He knows how much you can take. He knows the lessons you need to learn, the humility you need to develop. He knows the confidence you need to, needs to be instilled in you, the encouragement you need, the lessons you need to learn. He knows all of that better than you. And of course he does. He always will. But we think we know so much. We think we're right. I got it figured out. He's wrong. She's wrong. Guess what they said? I can't believe what they did. And we don't know anything we're talking about. Even when we think we got all the facts, you don't have all the facts. The Bible says it's folly and shame to him who answers a matter before he hears it. Never listen to one side of the story from anybody. Anybody. Always get the other side. And then pray and get God's opinion if you want to know the real truth. Look, he says in verse Job, verse 26. Chapter 39, verse 26. He says, does the hawk, you know I love this part, does the hawk fly by your wisdom? You ever see a hawk fly? They get the little tail. And they just turn. Then they swoop down. Then they come back up. They never flap their wings. Then maybe once I go, whoosh. Then they go up on a pole. You ever seen go up on a pole? They come down like this. If that's the pole, and they come below it and they go, whoosh. That's bad. I'm sorry. Then they sit up there like this, looking around. But they always come down and then they swoop up and they just fall gently right on the branch. They don't like crash into it. Ah! They go whoosh, bam. It's like a parachute. If you ever jumped out of a parachute, I went parachute once. Be the only time I ever do it. It was exciting though. 2 miles up in the air, you're dropping 120 miles an hour. You drop a mile in 30 seconds. Unbelievable. But when you hit the ground, you're coming down, and they pull down on the whatever those things are called. and you go up right as you hit the ground. So you just hit the ground just like this, like that. That's what the hawk does. He says, did you tell the hawk to do that?
Job, did you explain to the hawk's brain how, look what it says in verse 26, does the hawk fly by your wisdom, spread its wings toward the south? Does the eagle mount up at your command and make its nest on high? On the rock it dwells and resides, on the crag of the rock and stronghold. Did you tell it? Verse 29, for there it spies out its prey, its eyes observe from afar, its young ones suck up blood, and where the slain are, there it is. Woo, there it is. Did you tell her? Eagle. There's 150 kind of eagles, and I saw an eagle once. It was this big. It's on a guy's finger. It's like that big. The big eagles, wingspan 10 feet long. One eagle built a nest. It was 8 feet wide, 12 feet in height, and over 24,000 pounds, 12 tons. One eagle. They built it generation after generation. 150 animals in the nest it had killed. Eagle flies 100 miles an hour, and it runs into it. Well, this one type of eagle runs into its prey and just kills it from impact. It just throws its hips forward and claws, and bam, just knocks it to kills it to death. One eagle can have eyesight so good it can see a snake or a fish in the water from a mile away. Come swooping down, grab it. Eagles can glide on the wind for hours and never flap their wings. A man had an eagle on his arm right before he let the eagle go. Something scared the eagle, and the eagle clamped down and broke his arm in two places. Each claw of the eagle crushed his bones. That's a bad bird right there. That's a bad bird. He said, Job, did you make that bird? Did you tell that bird that it's a fish-eating eagle? Did you tell that bird it's going to eat birds? That bird's going to eat meat? Did you tell that bird how to see stuff from a mile away, how to come up behind it? Did you take the bald eagle and put claws on its arms like fish hooks because it's going to hunt fish? Did you do that? No. Did it evolve like that? No. I made it like that. Because, Job, if it evolved that way, it would have went billions of years with no fish hooks. It would have starved to death. Did you do that? Eagles, one kind of eagle, when they mate, they fly right into the sun. They have this film that goes over their eyes. They can look right into the sun. And then they mate as they fall. That seems kind of exciting to me. I like that. It's like, damn, let's try that. No. Then they, and they whoosh. Let's do it again. They fly back up. Job, did you think about, imagine God in heaven thinking, okay, we're going, these eagles going, they're going to mate falling. Think about that. Eagles teach that when you're young to fly, they put them on their back. They fly way up into the sky. They dump their babies off their back, and their babies fall hundreds of feet. What's up, Ma? Mom comes down, whoosh, picks them up. Are you crazy? We don't know how to fly. You're going to learn. Pick them back up. Whoosh. That's how they do it. Eagle's nest, bald eagle's nest, has sticks sticking up. So the babies are like this the whole time. So they don't get lazy. And they take him up, teach him how to fly. He says, Joe, did you do that? Woodpecker. When a woodpecker hits a tree, bam, 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 1,000 times the force of gravity. Bam, bam, bam. And the force of the peck goes through his head, is engineered such that the force goes through the beak and is distributed around his head. Because if his head wasn't designed correctly, it'd be just one peck. Bam! Birds be walking around like this. That's God. That's why you need to watch the Animal Planet. You need to watch that show. The woodpecker pecks. Gets the hole in the tree, sticks his beak in the hole, and then his tongue comes all the way through his beak, out his beak to get the bugs. Well, where's that long tongue when he's pecking? It's all the way around his head and stuck in his nose. For real. So he's like this. That's God. God. God made the bird. And Jesus said, well, where are we going to put the tongue? Just put it over here. He's hooking in there. And you're probably saying, Joe's probably saying, what's this got to do with my problems? This is what has everything to do with your problems. I have thought of everything. I know everything. 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 We need to repent that we think we know anything. Even when God tells you something, he's not telling you everything. Go repent. Oh, you say sorry, but you don't know the whole story. God, I trust you. That's comfort. God, I don't know about this, and the devil wants to scare us. I don't know about this, the devil wants to scare us. I don't know about this, the devil wants us to blame God. I don't know about this, the devil wants us to accuse God. We need to say, no. My God knows everything, therefore I trust him, even though he slayed me. Even though I don't understand, even though I'm discouraged, I'm scared, I don't think it's fair, based on what I know. I trust him. I trust him. That's what he's trying to tell Job. You know what Job says? Look at chapter 42, verse 5. It says, Job, after all this, says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. You know, my pastor used to talk about you. My mom, my dad, I went to seminary, a cemetery, or whatever you want to call it. I got an education. I read books. I heard about you by the ear, right here. See this? The ear. The pinna, which is all this, okay? The cochlea, the membrane, the stereocilia, the millions of hairs in your ear that tickle a nerve that makes sound, all that, the fluid in your ear, the bones that shake, all that happens for you to hear. I heard about you through the ear. It says, but now my eye sees you. And not the eye of my head, not my eyeballs, my heart sees you. Therefore, I repent. I'm sorry, God. And I repent sitting in my ashes with boils all over my body. You know why? Because I don't deserve to jam you up. You know too much. You're too big. And if you decided this is what for me to have, I trust you. That's it. You have to make a decision. You either trust God with everything, even though you are hurting, even though you don't know, even though you don't understand, even though you don't feel like you could take it, and say, look, he knows. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. I'm not going to accuse him of wrong. I'm not going to accuse him of making a mistake. I'm not going to accuse him of not being able to get me out of it. I'm not going to accuse him of not knowing everything because he wasn't there and didn't see what happened. I trust him. That's what Job said. I trust him. Last thing, chapter 40, verse 8. Chapter 40, verse 8. I'm going to take communion right after this. He says, God, the Lord answered Job, verse 6, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Imagine, Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Where were you when I taught the hawk how to fly? Verse 8. Would you, Job, annul my judgment, and would you condemn me that you may be right? Please! Please, Job! You will never be more right than me. So what you need to do? You need to be still and know that I'm God. You need to trust me. That's what you need to do. And in the end, turn to verse chapter 42, verse 10. We'll read this real quick, then we'll take it. Watch this. It says, the Lord, 42, verse 10, the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances came to him and ate food with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him from all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and a ring of gold. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than the beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. In the end, he had 20 kids, and he called the name of the first one, and God blessed him. And look what it says in verse 16. Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren of 4 generations. Job died old and full of days. You know what that means? That means that as painful as your beginning can be and as painful as your trial is now, God can bless you so much in the end that you'll forget it. Oh, that's good. That's good. I remember I've had surgery 3 or 4 times, 5 times in my life, and I remember when I was in the midst of it, my ankle was this big, my neck was all jacked up, my arm was all jacked up, my knee was all black jacked up, stitches swollen, drained, machines and crutches. I can't remember what legs they were on now. I used to be preoccupied with it 24 hours a day. Now I can't remember, what was this leg, this leg? God says, yeah, we're going to forget that. That's the hope God gives us. Let's all bow our heads and pray. And as we bow, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward for the communion. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and your love. We thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, bless us as we go through trials. Teach us to trust you. Teach us to lay our issues down to your feet that we may know that you are all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. In Jesus' name, amen.